Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
His dad paced Roger Bannister's four-minute mile. His daughter paced my daughter's junior park run. And in between, he's in charge of literally the world's greatest race. We run and he runs the TCS London Marathon. So from us all, it's a big thank you, Hugh Bridger!
Yes! This may be one day when the studio round of applause is louder than the control room round of applause. Let's hear the control room round of applause for Hugh. Yeah. And our round of applause. Yeah. And the control room round of applause. Yeah. And our round of applause. Yeah. Must do better, control room. Sorry about that, Hugh. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I've never had such positivity in my life. It's brilliant. What a
just
day.
Come a bit closer to that microphone, if you don't mind, Hugh. Thank you for your race again. We couldn't be happy to support you. We might be more excited. Well, we're definitely more excited than ever before, and we might be too excited this year for our own good, but that's sort of the deal, isn't it?
That's absolutely. And look, nerves are good. That's what you want. You want to just embrace yes. those nerves. You know, we are an animal, basically, and it's fight or flight. That's where our nervous system will go. It's positive. Grab hold of that energy, just gently control it, and then on the day it will help you fly all those steps all the way from Greenwich to the Mall.
Listen, couldn't be more excited. The ballot this year was crazy, wasn't it? Well, for this year, last year was crazy. Biggest marathon ballot entry ever?
Yeah, it's the most popular marathon on the planet. So we love to say that. We're not sure about the solar system, but the planet. 578,000 people applied to get in this year, which is quite incredible. And we are going to have record numbers.
Yeah, and we have most of them in the studio with us this morning. Wow. And it opens again tomorrow.
Absolutely. It opens tomorrow. And look, this is about inspiring activity. You might think that you cannot run 26.2 miles,
yeah.
But you can. And you just will float on this amazing people cheering you, put your name on your vest, wear a Minion suit. I mean, why not?
Have you heard? He's got a great Minion story from last year. Tell us your Minion story from last year, Vassos.
So I finish after, you know, 26.2 wonderful miles, having high-fived all the kids. And then my friend Chris Dennis, who works for BBC London and the World Service and the World Feed, he said, can we do a quick interview? But I said, yes, but I'd forgotten. So I went through and I was given the bag with, you know, with all the water and the Lucozade. So, and I put that in the Minion suit because you take it off immediately. And then I thought, oh, I forgot, Chris. So I went back and I was given another bag and I took it because I thought I can give one to each of my kids. And I put that in the Minion suit as well. And then just before the interview started, I was given another one. So each of these contains about a litre and a half of liquid. It's all in the Minion suit. So Chris is then interviewing me. It's on the big screen. It's going to the World Service. And he goes, but is that heavy? And I went, not really, Chris. And he goes, can I? And he picks it up. But now it's got 4 litres of water in it. So now it is heavy. And he picks it up and goes, oh, my God.
What a hero.
And I went, well, yeah. Didn't tell him.
Was it always fancy dress, the London Marathon? Did it always have that flavour to it?
Yeah, I mean, in the early days, there was a running waiter. And he had a tray with Perrier. He was an American. And he used to run 2:30 carrying Perrier water on a tray.
Was it that stuck was down to the tray?
And unbelievably, it was not stuck
no.
down. It just, I mean, yeah, that was very, very early days.
Okay.
He's a world record holder still.
I always get overtaken 2 or 3 times by the same rhino. He just does it to annoy me. Yeah. I've been overtaken by several Big Bens over the the years. There's a really sort of annoying bottle of Newcastle Brown Ale that overtakes me quite a lot. Memorable costumes.
Well, I think, I mean, a memorable moment for me, I think it was Andrew Strauss, you know, one of England's greatest cricketers, running the London Marathon. It was quite a few years ago. And as he's crossing the finish line and he's putting his arm out, this gorilla decided to run straight past him and out-dip Andrew Strauss on the line. So I think, you know, it's like Andrew Strauss's moment of glory and he's got a gorilla out-dipping him. That was one that sticks in my head.
So funny, isn't it? I wonder who was in that.
You do feel bad costume. When you're running up the Mall as a minion, because you see it, people find speed that they never knew they had because they don't want to be finishing behind the minion in their photo.
So you're helping people get their PB,
yes,
aren't you?
But I do feel like I'm ruining a few finishing photos. Is that a minion behind you in the photo?
And then there are multiple fancy dress costumes. Like there's often like, you know, like an Oxford rowing boat kind of situation going on. Or firefighters often get together and become a huge caterpillar or something like that, don't they?
Yeah, look, it's something like roughly about 40 Guinness World Records are broken every year, whether it's the fastest vegetable. I mean, there's someone carrying a fridge. I think there was in the newspaper, he got stopped by the police in his training run because basically he's running down an A road with a fridge and the police thought he must have stolen it from somewhere. But there he was practicing. So, yeah, this is British insanity at its best.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, isn't it? And that's sort of our USP for this particular marathon, as far as all the other famous marathons in the world. There's the Big Six, of course. You attend many of them. Were you at Boston this year?
I wasn't at Boston. I was in Sydney in September because that's looking to become one of the majors.
Right.
So we're helping them on the journey. I've got the race director accompanying me around the next couple of days. So that's a new major that hopefully next year, part of the Abbott World Marathon Major Series.
Brilliant. And you did Brighton a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, we put the Brighton Marathon on. And look, if you can't get in London, Brighton is such a great city. Culture, music. I mean, we've got some amazing musicians here today. It's just a stunning city to go and visit. If you want a weekend, Brighton shouts out fun. London is going to be amazing, by the way. You honestly will have one of the greatest days of your life on Sunday. And it's going to sound weird running 26.2 miles, but genuinely, it is going to be fantastic. The crowds will be insane.
But are the headlines looking forward to the weekend? Potential world record for the ladies?
Absolutely. We've got 9 women that have run under 2 hours, 17 minutes and 30 seconds. No marathon in the history of the event. And you know, you've talked about Pheidippides, you've talked about 1908 with the marathon distance, but never before have we had that number of great women running. Tigistha Sifa, who's the world record holder, but there are another 8 running with her. I have no idea who's going to win, but it's going to be brilliant. So yeah, really looking forward to
the
weekend.
And is the weather going to be helpful, do you think? We hear of a slight breeze, pretty good temperatures.
Temperature's really good. That breeze, we would like it to go down a bit. You know, the marathon does go both sort of west and east. Yeah. So hopefully it's going to be...
It mostly goes west though, doesn't it?
It mostly goes west. So and at the moment I think it's a northwesterly, I think, or it could be northeasterly. But anyway, you have with so many people around you, you will not feel that way. Wind.
Yeah, and Paralympians and wheelchair athletes.
Absolutely amazing. David Weir, it's his 25th consecutive London Marathon. He's only ever been out of the top 3 4 times. He did the mini London Marathon aged 8. He won the mini London Marathon 5. I mean, tomorrow we have 10,000 kids running on the Mall, the mini TCS Mini London
Marathon.
That's
just taken off, hasn't it?
It's sold out. 14,000 kids applied in 24 hours. Mm. Each child gets paid £10 to do the event.
That's amazing.
And that goes towards their school for either computer equipment or sports equipment. So that's a TCS initiative. It is all about, I mean, you get some of the greatest athletes running. You know, Sir Mo Farah won it. I was talking to Paula yesterday. She actually never did it. But Chris Thompson, who was a British Olympian, he'd never won it. I mean, there are some amazing people that have done it and not won it. So it's just, you know, tomorrow makes me slightly probably more nervous than Sunday. 10,000 kids is just insane.
Yeah, and when can they enter that for next year?
We probably around about November, December. It's done through schools.
Right.
And we've gone into London and really trying to look at the more disadvantaged schools in terms of the money going to computer equipment and sports equipment. So the team that we've got at the London Marathon doing that are just brilliant. That's Ben, Polly and Layla. And Layla, one of the team, she actually won the Mini London Marathon years ago.
That's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what some people don't know, if they've never run it before, they definitely won't know. It's a very friendly marathon, the London Marathon. It's quite flat. It's relatively flat. But also the first 6 miles are properly downhill, aren't they?
Yeah, you have to control yourself. That's one of the big things is, you know, you'll be very excited. Those nerves will start coming
out. Anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll be very excited and you'll set off and you'll think, this is so easy.
Yeah.
And between sort of basically about mile two and mile three, downhill, shooter's hill, left-hand turn, just take it easy. They say the marathon doesn't start until mile 20, and they're right. So just enjoy yourself, keep smiling. You probably won't be able to stop that, and have a great day.
Yeah, the first 2 or 3 miles, because it's all downhill. I mean, specifically, you know, miles 2 to 3, but it's downhill till about mile 6, then it goes up for about 500 metres, and then it's downhill again by some extent, actually, after mile 6, mile 7, and all the way down to Tower Bridge, which is about 12 and a half miles, isn't it? So you've got to really sort of, you have to temper yourself. You've got to slow yourself down.
Yeah, there's a thing called negative splits where you run the second half quicker than the first.
They don't exist. They're like leprechaun gold or brownie points.
Yeah, unicorns. They're unicorns. But of course, unicorns exist. Negative splits is meant to be the way to do it. I mean, Kelvin Kiptum, who tragically passed away, he was our reigning champion. He'd run 3 marathons. He'd won in Valencia on his debut, the fastest ever marathon. And then he came to London. He broke Eliud Kipchoge's course record, and then he broke the world record in Chicago. And I think at age 24, he died tragically in a car accident. It shows that life is short, that we need to grab it by both hands, that we need to be positive with it, kind with it, have fun with it, but just enjoy it, because we never know when is our last day.
Well said, my friend, well said. So what is your next 48 hours look like? Because if, you know, we get paranoia, it's nothing compared to his paranoia. What do you have to do between now and 10 o'clock on Sunday morning?
I mean, look, it's the team.
There yeah, I know you always say the team.
But
I know
is,
that.
Honestly, there
I know,
is,
I know
there, there is a team that.
Yeah, but you're
there.
The boss of the team.
Yeah, but honestly, if the hard work's not doing, I mean, I have to do quite a lot of speeches. I have to do quite a lot of media stuff. We've got a sustainability conference this afternoon at Frameless, and we're trying to imagine the world in 50 years' time. We've got a brilliant facilitator called Phoebe Tickle with a name like that. She's going to be absolutely brilliant. We're really trying to imagine that the world of mass participation, how it could be. Because also, if you really want change in the world, bring people together. That's what the London Marathon is all about, bringing people together. Because together we can make change. And that's what this world needs to make. Because, you know, we've seen what's happening in Dubai. We've seen what's happening in Australia with wildfires. We just see it ourselves in this country. The marathon is a force for good. It's about bringing people together. It's about positivity. And hopefully that's what we're gonna give in abundance on Sunday.
All right, I know you got to go, but stick around. We got some live music now. Stick around for one more chat, if that's all right. Vass, over to you.
They know their way around a chart-topping earworm better than most, and their new music is no exception. Their new album, San Vito, is out now, and they're about to go on tour. But first, with their cover of ABBA's SOS, we're always hooked on The Feeling!
To go on when you're gone, though I try, how can I carry on?
Kieran Jeremiah, Kevin Jeremiah, The Feeling! All right, Dan.
All right.
How's it going? going?
It's going great.
Oh, that was quite punchy for this time in the morning, wasn't it?
Well, do you know what? We've never done our ABBA before, and I love ABBA, and it's been, what, 50 years or something, is it?
50 years since Waterloo, 25... No, 50 years... 50 years since Waterloo, 25 years since Mamma Mia the musical.
Exactly, right? So I was like, you know, this is basically a great excuse to get a bit of ABBA out in front of this time in the morning. Why not?
Well, well done. Gorgeous. The album From the Feeling, San Vito, is out now, and they have a UK tour beginning on Friday the 3rd of May. You will never have a better gig than going to see The Feeling. Once they feeling you, then you won't regret it. Thefeeling.com for tickets. It's going to go on until Saturday the 18th of May. And they are going from Nottingham to Birmingham on the 4th of May. May the 4th be with you, Birmingham. Cardiff, Liverpool, Glasgow, Newcastle upon Tyne, Manchester, Sheffield, Cambridge, Brighton, London, Southampton. And also at Carfest this year as The Feeling. The Feeling is The Feeling.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah, it's been a while.
How is that weekend shaping up for gigs for you? So it's August Bank Holiday, 23rd, 24th, 25th Carfest. Do you have any other gigs? Because we didn't get sloppy seconds last year, did we? We got sloppy fourths.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a busy one last
weekend.
You did? Actually, this year, I think there's just two others, right? Is that right?
Yeah, we'd like to stay if we can.
Yeah.
Please do, Rich.
It makes us sad when we can't camp.
So how's the album doing? San Vito. Tell us about San Vito. I've seen loads of stuff on Insta. Even before it was released, when you were thinking about it, writing it, and then you tease some tracks out there.
So Rich found this studio near in Puglia, a place where he's got for holidays and stuff. And it was lovely because we basically saw the studio and thought, oh, we've got to make a record here. Yeah. Let's just do it. Let's do it now, basically.
It's all the winery in southern Italy.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. And it was great. And, you know, it was really lovely because the engineer would set us up every day and then leave us to our own devices. And we did what we love doing, which is five of us in a space on our own. But it was nice to be in Italy and it was nice to be away from all the distractions.
Yeah.
And it was also nice to be in a proper nice big studio because, you know, they're expensive in London and there's not that many of them left. And Italy had this amazing studio, which was like the facilities were incredible. And the local musicians that we worked with were incredible as well. So we had a tamburello player coming with us and we had a brass section, string players. And these are all local musicians who are just fantastic players.
All right. So if you want this sort of feeling sound with more than a hint of San Vito about it, more than a bouquet of San Vito about it, then check it out. San Vito is out now, but let's see if it's worked, shall we? Because we have the evidence in front of us, don't we? The third track from The Feeling's brand new album, San Vito, released last week, recorded in Puglia, My Way Up, please, if you don't mind.
All right, yeah, I'm going to play the piano for this.
All right, off you go. As long as Kieran doesn't mind, of course.
All right, here we go.
All right, San Vito, The Feeling.
And I know the ground is your way down, but my way down is beyond the clouds, and it scares me, because I know somewhere there's a way we can be together. There's a way we can do this better. Don't you want us to live together? Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful song, man. By the way, Kevin Kieran, that wakes the fingers up, doesn't it? This early in the morning. That wakes the fingers up. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, wow. So cool. San Vito, The Feeling's brand new album. It's out now. More from The Feeling in a bit. They're live with us all morning, and you can go and see them by getting tickets via thefeeling.com. Once again, those dates from the 3rd of May through to the 18th of May. Nottingham, Birmingham, Cardiff, Liverpool, Glasgow, Newcastle-upon-Tyne, Manchester, Sheffield, Cambridge, Brighton, London and Southampton. On the show, on the way very soon, Paula Radcliffe is going to be here. Now, she can run a bit, but still with us, the man who's organising the marathon again this year. He runs it
so we can run it.
Yeah. And he was first helping his dad out with his weekend job in 1981, Hugh Brasher. What do you recall of that first day of your experience with the London Marathon?
I just recall being in the Strand Palace Hotel in the basement, stuck in the clothing where you put your coats in, and basically selling everybody their train ticket. So they paid me 50p and they got their train ticket. These days, your running number gets you free travel on the trains. So at the end of 3 days, I'd sold 6,300 train tickets. I think my father had paid me £3 a day.
Right.
I'd actually cycled to the station, and I'd cycled on his bicycle, and his bicycle got stolen at the end of the 3 days. And I sort of thought that was God's way of saying you should have paid him more. I'm not sure that's true, but I do. That's sort of stuck in my head an awfully long time ago.
That's a real father-son thing, isn't
it? That is a father-son thing.
How old were you then?
I was 15.
So you're pushing back on your dad anyway, because all 15-year-olds do, don't they?
Absolutely.
They say if you have a 15-year-old son and you want him to do something, then get one of his mate's dads to tell him to do it, because he ain't listening to you. Exactly. That's for sure.
Paula's got a brilliant story. You have to ask her about her daughter, Isla. I'm not going to say what it is, but if you want to talk about kids pushing back, ask Paula later.
Okay, so if I frame it as, can you tell us the big Isla pushback story? Will she know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure she'll know. Yes.
You can high-five her on the way out and give her a heads up on that one. Now, I heard this week, and I'd never heard this before, that there is a Pacers Award ceremony. You can nominate pacers around the world from different races for awards for being brilliant pacers, which is fantastic, because the pacers, as many people around the marathon are, often go as the unsung heroes. Tell us about pacers. It's the first time they came in. This year has a record entry for pacers for the London Marathon.
Yeah, look, they are sort of the lifeblood of helping people in the marathon. And you will see them. Not only you'll see their huge flags, but you'll see a massive crowd of people around them.
Yeah.
So it's actually the biggest roadblock on the marathon is the pacers.
Yeah. But you can hear them coming from a mile away.
Absolutely. But they're there to just, you know, half the people running have never run a marathon before. And getting your pace right is so important. And these people just give up their time, give up their energy, and guide people on the way. And they're beacons of hope in terms of the flag just being there. Yeah. So they just do an amazing job. We've got over, I think it's 140 pacers this year,
right?
Which is just quite incredible. And if you see the flag, just go behind them and relax. They're going to take control of the pace, allow you to breathe. I mean, breathing is so important. You talk about it a lot, Chris, sort of nasal breathing. So, just relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are paces for all times?
Well, there are paces for all times. There are paces for going at a world record pace for the women, for example. So they're absolutely through all paces. There's three in certain paces. The more popular sort of 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5.
Yeah.
We have more paces at those times.
And like
times.
You say, because again, if you're running your first marathon, if you see a pacer run by, you can think, because you think all kinds of things when you're running this crazy 26.2 miles, you can think, oh, there's a pacer. I wish I'd have signed up for that. You don't have to. You can just jog on behind.
Absolutely.
Just join in and jog on.
Absolutely. And if you're not sure about it, we've got the running show on at the moment where you pick your number up, you go and register. There's a stand there. You can talk to them if you're nerves, and look, people are nervous. Everyone you speak to is like they're sort of, they've just got the flutters, as you say. So they'll calm your nerves, they'll just tell you what's going on. So fill your boots at the registration of the running show.
And the best thing we heard about butterflies in the tummy was a few weeks ago. Do you remember? It's great to have butterflies in your tummy. All you've got to do between now and Sunday morning is get them to fly in formation.
Ah,
isn't that a beautiful thing? I think
absolutely
it's so cool.
Love that.
And also, it's a bit of fun to, you know, I'm like under five, in between 4:30 and 5 hours. That's where I usually finish. But I have, for a bit of fun, tagged onto a 3.5 minute pacer for a mile, just to see how it feels. Because you can do that.
Yeah.
You just float from one pace to another. Also, being a pacer is the least thanked role in the marathon, isn't it, Vassos? Tell us why.
So you're running along as a pacer. Let's say you're the 2:59 pacer, and you have your cabal around you, hundreds of runners often. And when it comes to the last mile, when they pass mile 25, they all think, right, I'm going to absolutely rinse myself between now and the finish. So they, because the pacer goes at exactly the same pace every mile, but that's not how human beings' legs work. So anything left, people just give it all in the last mile. Yeah. So the pacer often comes past the line on his or her own.
Yeah.
Having
it's
run
so
with
unfair,
hundreds of people.
Absolutely.
It's the most unfair thing. It's like somebody lowering the lifeboat and then you're going, there, thanks for that, see ya.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah, and as Vassal said, there's a bit of a family tradition with pacemaking. My father pacemakes Sir Roger Bannister in 1954 to do the first...
Oh, hang on a minute. In there, why don't you?
But I mean, my old man was renowned for being stubborn, Roger at the time was shouting at him, faster, faster, as they went through the first 400 metres. I think my old man actually thought he couldn't go any faster, so that was the pace they were going. But yeah, I mean, the pace has played such an important part, and yeah, even if you're going to disappear, just thank them before you do that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any idea how many spectators are going to turn up year on year, or is that something you just literally have to wait and see?
I mean, it's around about 750,000. What we do is we do a whole lot of data gathering. We get then at the end, you know, we get the data off DLR, Docklands Light Railway. It's the busiest day of the year. We broke the record for London 2012 in terms of the number of people that are there. Westminster Station is absolutely packed. So, yeah, it'll be well over 750,000 people lining the streets, clapping and cheering you. Put your name on your your vest or on your
T-shirt.
We're
all going to put Eileen, so it's come on, Eileen. We just think it'd be funny.
It would be. It absolutely would. But it would confuse that.
Anybody called Eileen listening who's actually running the marathon, what is that like? It must be the most fun. This is very London-centric, but of course it's a national event, which we can talk about it because it's on the telly and we talk about it and it's so famous and all this kind of stuff. It's also now officially the biggest fundraising event in the UK, isn't it?
Oh, it's the biggest fundraising event in the world.
Is it really?
So since it was founded by John Disley, my father, £1.2 billion, I say billion, has been raised for good causes.
Oh, come on, let's hear it, guys. That's amazing. Shoot. It's a joy to see you. I love you coming here because I know this is your little sort of safe place and safe space before the madness ensues with your brilliant team, of course. Yeah. It's great to see you, man.
Look, it's absolutely fantastic to see you. I listen to you often.
Thank you.
You called up with Laura Trott. Thank you for live on air trying to get her in.
Is that happening?
Not for this year.
No, but is the other thing happening?
The
other thing that we talked about to do with Laura a couple of days.
Oh, yes, hopefully.
That is happening. Hopefully. Do you want to announce that now?
No. I mean, hopefully.
How good is that?
There's some great other things. We've got the hardest geezer. Have you been following
the
hardest geezer?
Yeah, of course we have. Do you mean have we? Russell Cook?
Yes, exactly.
He was in here yesterday.
Yes. So he's running. We've got Jasmine Paris Bot. She's starting the whole marathon. She won the only ever female finisher of the Barclay Marathons.
Yep.
So the hardest geezer, the hardest woman.
We had her on the show as well.
Yeah, the hardest in the world. They are amazing.
Which is brilliant. But I mean, with the greatest respect to those two superhumans, you are only... We're all playing second fiddle to Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso. Phil Dunster's running. Come on.
Yeah.
Ruth Wilson's running.
Yep.
Darren Turner, Harry Judd, Joel Dommett, Phil Dunster, as I say, Chris Eccleston, Natalie Pinkham. Romesh is running his first marathon. Romesh Ranganathan.
I know. He sort of kept that slightly
He came in here. I said, you're looking well. He said, oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, you know, tour this, tour that, radio show this, radio show that. Leaves. About an hour later, find out he's been training in secret. Who would train in secret for the London Marathon?
Exactly.
Tom Grennan's running as well, isn't he?
Yep.
If he's back from his stag do, you know he went missing yesterday.
No.
On his staggy, yeah. So he might be running away, let alone running off. Okay, that's it. That's almost it from Hugh. But before we go, I have a WhatsApp. It's just come in. It's still hot. It's in fact sizzling. I can barely hold it in my hands. Long time listener, first time WhatsApper. Hugh Brace's wife here.
Oh God.
Can you say, well done to you, yada, 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 but please remind him it's also his daughter's 14th birthday tomorrow.
Yes, it is my daughter, Skye. It's her 14th birthday.
Happy birthday, Skye. Come on. So what's she doing for her birthday tomorrow?
So sadly, she has to be at school on Saturday morning. But then she's coming down. Her sister's running the mini marathon. Rosie's running the mini marathon.
Is she helping out?
She's not. She's no. We haven't roped her in to help out.
Have you offered her more than £3 a day?
Exactly. She would definitely be negotiating a lot more than £3 a day.
I hope you have a great race. I hope you have a safe race. Congratulations. Well done. Thank you for everything.
Yeah. Thank you. And look, thank you to the team here. I know lots of you are running. You're going to have an amazing day.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. It's not down to the team. It's down to me. All right. Good. Let's hear from you, baby. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with another song from The Feeling. I do believe we're filling our little world next. The Feeling, everybody!
Right. One, two, three, four.
Hey, show some love. You ain't so tough. Come fill my little world right up, right up. Someday you're going to realise that I'm passing you by. So fill your little world right up, right up.
Rider.
Today. Who cares the feeling you're here playing live for us today? Come on! All right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on,
let it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Talking of awesome, he's just walked into the studio of Assos.
If you want the greatest British runner of all time, who you gonna call? If you want gold medals and world records, who you gonna call? If you want a tip-top human being to talk about Children with Cancer UK, who you gonna call? You're gonna call her Paula!
Yeah! Champ is in the house!
Thank you. That might be the best intro
I've
ever had.
Come on, it's great, isn't it? That's so cool. You excelled yourself there. How are you, Paula?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm too excited.
Are you?
Yeah,
you're always excited. It's that time of year, isn't it?
I know, but I get more and more excited every year. I forgot everything today. I forgot my car keys. I had to borrow somebody else's car to get to work. Didn't set my alarm last night. First time ever. Yada, yada, yada. It's Maranoia comes in all shapes and sizes and flavours, doesn't it?
It does. And it never gets easier, like you said. Sometimes it just grows.
Yeah, and you used to get it as well. Tell us your experiences of the same kind of feelings.
Well, I think it's a sign that it matters.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you're nervous, if the adrenaline's pumping, if you're just forgetting things, doing silly things, it's a sign that it's something that really matters to you. And this is definitely an event that matters.
Have
it's
you got any standout memories of you really messing things up 24 hours before?
No, nothing too bad. I mean, I am quite an organised person, so I would lay out everything just to make sure that I can forget things and make sure 3 or 4 times that you've got 2 shoes and it's a right and a left shoe that you're packing in your bag.
Simple as that.
It's really important,
things like that,
because I do know people that have done that, turned up with 2
left feet.
Of course,
keep the main thing the main thing. And a lot of people running for the first time, you know, because they'll be so invested in it, as we all are, but you never run your first marathon twice, do you? You know that better than anyone. They'll be thinking about the things that don't really matter, that they've convinced themselves somehow do matter. Keep the main thing the main thing.
Exactly. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep it simple. Do not go out and experiment with a curry the night before. Stick with what you're used to. Remember to book that restaurant because they will fill up. It's marathon week.
Yeah.
Everybody is trying to get to the Italians and the pastas. And so make sure you've booked all of that up and take your breakfast with you.
You gave me some beautiful super tips that made it to the book 10 years ago. Can't believe it's 10 years ago.
Is
it actually 11?
Oh,
I think it was 11 years ago. So thanks for those. Going into tomorrow, I know it's a question you get asked a million times, but it's we never get tired of hearing the answers. What should people be doing, do you think, tomorrow?
Tomorrow is really about feet up. I mean, there will be that last minute rush to the expo, grab your number, but just try and keep it down to a minimum. Just look back on what you've done, on the preparation. And it's about what you've done, not what you haven't done.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got bits that you couldn't do.
Yeah.
But it is about that solid picture of base on base on base on base.
Yeah.
I'm ready. And those techniques for going to when you're in that pain cave, when it's really hurting, remembering that everybody goes through that. There are ups and downs in the marathon. And to have your go-to ready to get through that rough patch and then ride the good patches.
How were you before the marathon? Because I remember the first one in the Tower Hotel after that day, we had that lovely risotto on the Friday, that was, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Then we had the Saturday. You were running that year as well, weren't you? I think I slept for about 3.5 hours. Didn't matter in the end. In fact, I was just waiting to... It was the closest I've felt to Christmas Eve since I was a kid.
Yeah, and that's... I still go back to the best advice my dad gave me when I was about 12 or 13. And I said, I can't sleep the night before a race. And he said, doesn't matter. It's the week before and the weeks before that. And it's that accumulation of solid sleep there. Yeah. Because if you don't sleep the night before, it's really going to make no difference at all unless you worry about it.
Yeah, and because as long as you're off your feet, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether your eyes are closed necessarily. You know, if you can stay as calm as you, as possible, you know, and be excited around your mates and other people that are running. But don't be too excited because there's energy in that excitement. And excitement is good up to a point, isn't it? But you don't want it to just take away from what you're going to need tomorrow.
Exactly. It's about having something to keep a lid on those nerves and escape from
it. How did you do that?
I used to read. I honestly just used to lose myself in
anything
a book.
But.
I'm a massive bookworm. And I just used to take a book with me, find a quiet corner and just bury myself in that to take my mind away from thinking about the race.
Yeah.
Because there's enough time for that when you're in warm-up, when you're thinking about race tactics and discussing those with your team and things like that. So aside from that, I used to just find a distraction. So it can be watching a movie, can be reading a book, can be listening to music, can be anything that stops you thinking too much about the race until it's time to think about the race.
That's fantastic advice. I've never heard it said like that before, because basically what you're saying, you're confirming something that we heard last week, that your brain can't think about two things at once. So if your only tactic is what's that?
If you're a man especially,
but your brain can't think about two things at once. So if you I can't think of anything at the moment. I think one thing I want to do right now, to be honest. But if your tactic is I'm going to try not to think about the marathon, that won't work, because your brain always ignores the word not. So the best thing to do is just do something else.
Yeah.
Because then you won't give it a chance.
Yeah, and do something that isn't burning too much physical energy at the same time. So go for a walk.
I do like watching people's YouTube videos. There's been a lot this week about the Boston Marathon, which happened on Monday. There's one guy, we might play his clip later on before we go off the air, who's going for it. He's a sub-3 marathon runner, sub-3-hour marathon runner. Anyway, he's going for 2:45. His legs blew up. You know, after 10 miles, he said, they haven't shown up today. Sometimes that happens. He had great prep, you know, and he's devastated, and with like 4 or 5 miles he's thinking, I've just got to get under 3 now. I can't go over 3 when I was going for 2:45. He's a sub-3 guy, and he gets in 2:59 and 12, and then he starts to reflect, and then he does this brilliant piece to his phone, piece to camera, and for 2.5 minutes he sort of gets to the point where he says, this has probably been my best marathon because I found out more about myself this time. Mm-hmm. And it's about how you frame it, isn't it?
It is, and it is a cliche, but every single person gets to the finish line of that marathon, and it doesn't matter if it's their 200th marathon or their first one, you get to the finish line and you found out something a bit more about yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You found out a little bit more about your strengths and your weaknesses and what makes you tick, and also about what is so cool and special about the family of marathon running. And it is that family that comes together, and it's unique to the marathon. No other sport has what we're hoping for on Sunday, over 50,000 people going through exactly the same emotions, the same course, the same event on the same day.
And a women's world record, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
What is your feeling? What's the feeling in your water about that?
It is a stacked, stacked field. And without a doubt, there is the capacity for them all to run extremely fast. Certainly, Safer seems to think she's in the same shape or better than she was in for Berlin when she set that phenomenal world record. So I think it could go really quickly, or they could run tactically and just make sure that they're coming out of it with a victory and saving a little bit of energy, because it is the Olympic Games in Paris,
isn't it?
In the summer.
And it's, you know, in marathon terms, it's quite close.
It's fairly close, yes.
Because Elliot says, I don't know what you say about this, but he says you've got two really sort of, you can rinse yourself twice a year, mm-hmm. marathon-wise. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you can run more than two marathons a year.
Yeah.
But at maximum effort, then it starts to get really tough, and the Olympics only comes about every 4 years.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that you're right. And it's a very, very tough course in Paris. It's a great course. It would be a brilliant course for watching. And I would have loved to race it, but it is a tough course. So
right.
I think you've got to be going in ready.
Exciting. Exciting for you in the commentary box with Steve as well, mm-hmm. isn't it? So this year you are more than representing childrenwithcancer.org.uk. Tell us about that. Tell us why it's so close to your heart. Tell us what you, you're an ambassador for these guys now, and congratulations, yeah. Well done. I know you're going in your capacity as an ambassador for Children with Cancer UK to the expo later today. Just tell us a bit about that.
Well, they're a great charity, and we've got 1,200 runners taking part on Sunday, raising, we hope, over £3 million. And incidentally,
come on,
we hope that...
That's a lot of money!
Itself is going to break its own record of the greatest amount raised for charity in a single event on a single day, yeah. Which I think is £66.4 million.
That's
from 2019.
Record,
yeah. That's a world record. And the marathon itself is hoping to break that. And I think Children with Cancer runners within that. So it's basically, 4,500 children or young adults are diagnosed with cancer each year in the UK alone. And there's not really a reason that 100% of those shouldn't be able to ring that bell at the end and come through it, because childhood cancer is more beatable than adult cancers. And so Children with Cancer is all about trying to make that difference. So to find out why, the causes, to look for cures, and to support the families going through it as well. And so
Brilliant.
We're all about just trying to put as much towards that as possible.
The love, the collective love, the harmony of the human spirit on Sunday is unsurpassed, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the world, anywhere. On a regular basis than at the London Marathon. It's overwhelmingly beautiful.
It is. And I think there's something about runners, aren't there? They're just nice people. Runners are just nice people. You run through the park.
They weren't. That's why we all started running.
Yeah.
But we're getting nicer, aren't we, with every step?
Every mile.
That's why we do it, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think that everybody's interesting. You see, you run past a runner, you say hello, they say hello back.
Yeah. Doesn't well, they do the happen. First 10 miles. Mile 20. Jury's out on that one. You gave me the best tip ever when we had that 10 years ago, 11 years ago, whenever it was. You said to me, Chris, don't forget halfway is 20 miles. That's so important, isn't it?
It is. It's really, really important. It's all about patience in the marathon. It's all about knowing your pace, not getting carried away in those first few miles when you're all fresh, you're all rested because you've eased down for the race. All that maranoia has been spinning around.
Yeah.
And you set off and you're like, I feel great. And then you get to mile three and it's downhill and you run even quicker down there. And just don't do it. Just put the brakes on. So it's a good thing if there are people in front of you and you can't go off too quickly.
Yeah.
Just be patient. Just sit with that. And then second half, then you can start picking it up. Then you can start feeling good. And when you get to 20 miles, then you can put
just
everything
go
you've
it.
Got left.
Just go for it. It's interesting, isn't it? Somebody said to me again this week, obviously loads of marathon chat in our house, you know what it's like. And they said that if you do start off slower, what will happen is, so a lot of people get it wrong. And, you know, by the way, this is there's no schadenfreude where that's concerned, because that's not how you feel if you're running. You don't want other people to not do well. You want everybody to do well. But if you pace it right, you will, after about 13 miles, more 15, 16, you will very gradually start to overtake people. And apparently that is a real sort of superpower, isn't it?
Just
the feeling of that. Adds to what, however good your legs feel because you're doing that and they're not, it makes that even more better, doesn't it?
It does. There's something, I don't know whether it's a psychological brain chemical that's released, or even if you're feeling really bad and you're feeling tired, if you start passing people, there is something that says, okay, actually, maybe my mind's playing tricks. Maybe I'm not really feeling that bad because I'm going past people.
Yeah.
So you just get a little bit of an extra surge of energy. And
and you don't
want to
be on the other side of that play, do you? You don't want to be the person for... I mean, if you are, whatever. But if you get it right, if you go slow in the first half, you might not go any quicker in the first half. It's just that there's that great phrase about Usain Bolt. He wins the 100 metres because he slows down...
The least.
Least compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
And in the 200 metres, he slows down... He usually wins between did win between 10, 20, 30 metres sometimes. So it looks like he's going faster, but everybody's slowing down. Mm-hmm. It's just that he's slowing down less quickly.
Yeah, but sometimes in the marathon, it is possible to really flip that and to actually finish your second half substantially faster than your first half.
Yeah,
and
here
that's
we are.
A nice
here
way.
She goes. another myth maker
that
here.
People say. That's
what
just
wrong
stuff
with this woman?
People say.
I've got stats
exist.
To back that up.
And you've got stats because you held a world record.
Yes, for like decades.
No, by the way, talking about the world record, Paula Radcliffe, she's sitting in front of us now, held the Women's World Marathon record from 2003 to 2019 with a time of 2 hours, 50 minutes and 25 seconds. She also ran and won the London Marathon in 2002. Woo! 2003 and 2005. Yay! And then she decided to give somebody else a chance, for heaven's sake. Now, we've been talking about our pacing ourselves, figuring out our spreadsheet. You know, I'm 10 and a half minutes for 20 miles. That's 3.5 hours. Then hopefully the last 6 miles in 10 minutes. But it doesn't matter if I don't. I'm just going to try. And that'll be 4:30 to 4:39. Did you go through a plan for your 2 hours, 15, 25? Or did you just go for it?
It was, you know, I did have a plan. I absolutely had a plan. The first plan happened. So after I set the world record in Chicago in the October before right. that, so I ran 2:17:18 there, right. and I wanted to bring it back to London. I wanted to run that record in London. So that was essentially the plan the whole winter, just like train to get into better shape than I was in for Chicago. And so then I come into London and my entire race plan was based on running negative splits, because I'd done that in the first London Marathon. I'd done that in Chicago and I knew it was a nicer, easier way to run the marathon. So that was the first plan. Don't go through halfway too quickly. Second plan was as many miles as possible under 5:13, which was the split time
what?
From Chicago.
What did she say?
That's more unicunicons under 5:13 a mile.
I must get these ears shringed.
No, me too.
I have to wait till Monday, though.
These headphones.
Say that again.
So that was the only plan, basically.
5:13?
5:13 was the 5:13? Average pace. Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
Can't do that now.
Actually, lost interest. All right, so how's it looking with the commentary team, Steve? How's Steve? What's going on with you guys?
He's good, yeah. No, we're all excited, really excited. We're on air, I think, from before 9 o'clock till 3 o'clock. So it's a great day because you see all the sides of the marathon and we've got the perfect seat.
Of course, yeah.
Right on the bottom of the mile. You see all of that emotion as people turn the corner in front of Buckingham Palace. They see the finish line and they know they've done it at that point, and it's great.
Well, you are the absolute bee's knees. You are our superwoman, Paula Radcliffe. We love you so much. Childrenwithcancer.org.uk. Find out more and donate via those guys for Paula and her gang. The TCS London Marathon 2024, this Sunday, 21st of April. Coverage begins on BBC One. It's 8:30. You've got to be there.
Right. It's latest. Okay. It's good I know that.
All right.
I think I've got to be there before because I've got to do some breakfast stuff.
And before
first.
You go, Paula, Hugh asked us to ask you a story about your daughter Isla.
Yeah, about pushback. Apparently, you've got the ultimate mother-daughter pushback story.
I don't know that it's
no.
The
we
ultimate.
Were talking about it, so him and his dad. So you know, like daughters and sons rebel against their own mum and dad, but they're happy to listen to their friends' mums and dads.
Oh, of course, but mum's never right, is it? I mean, it's like,
but he said,
mum, don't come to the track with me because you don't know what you're talking about. That's always happened. But then she... She qualified with her team for the schools, the French national schools cross country championships.
Right.
So I wasn't allowed to go and watch, and she's got a different surname.
Because what do you know about running?
No, that was because of the embarrassment. It's embarrassing to have me there. So I sent her off with a different spikes configuration because it's cross country. And I said, okay, you need the longer ones in the front. So I put the two longer ones in the front and the shorter ones in the back if it's muddy. So the morning of the race, I call her and I say, is it muddy? And she said, yeah, it is. But thing is, my friend told me to do it the other way around, so I've put the long ones in the back and the short ones in the front. Of course. Because I don't know much about cross country, do I?
How many times did you win the world cross country?
How many cross country championships did you win?
Three.
That's hilarious, isn't it? That makes me feel so much better about Noah ignoring anything I ever tell him. Yeah, but Mum, my friend said...
I think that's going to make everyone feel better about all parental things ever.
That should be put on notice boards around the world for mums and dads generally. Yeah, you think your kids don't listen to you. Listen to what Paula Radcliffe's daughter said to her. Paul, anything else you'd like to say to people listening ahead of the weekend?
Just huge good luck to everybody taking part, and a huge thank you to everybody else who's going to go out and cheer on along the route, because that is what makes London amazing. So the organisers do a brilliant job, the volunteers do an amazing job, but all those people cheering and bringing the atmosphere, thank you.
Let's hear it for Paula Radcliffe, everyone. Paula Radcliffe, yeah, baby. And now the feeling alive with us this morning, here they are with Never Be Lonely.
Never be lonely. Never be.
beautiful. Thefeeling.com. Tickets available to go and see The Feeling because they are touring from Friday, 3rd of May. Nottingham, Birmingham, Cardiff, Liverpool, Glasgow. This is Friday, 3rd of May through to 10th of May. And then on from that, the 11th of May, Saturday, Manchester, Sheffield, Cambridge, Brighton, London, Coco, what a great gig that's going to be. And Southampton, the entry room is thefeeling.com. And the brand new album, San Vito, is out now. So, Dan, heading into a new tour, do you change it up? Obviously, there are new songs in there. Is there a formula? Do you want to punk it up a little bit? Do you want to make it as spontaneous enough to so you stay engaged with the whole event?
At my age, it gets spontaneous because I forget what I'm doing. And then they have to follow me. But luckily, we've been doing it for 30 years nearly. So basically what happens is I'll just go off-piste completely by accident.
Anything could happen.
Anything could happen and they follow me.
What kind of things have happened if anything could happen?
I forget the words. I sing the same verse twice. I cut a verse.
You missed an entire verse.
Yeah, just cut one out.
And then the next day, we told him he did it. Next day, he played it twice.
Yeah. To make up for the night before.
That's nice of you, isn't it? There's some sort of pop karma there.
Yes, exactly.
So you go off-piste, and on-piste is where it all began. So you go back to the basics. For people who have no idea what I'm talking about, can you speak to that for a second?
Okay, so there was a point in our career where we basically had nothing going on. So we went to the Alps, and we used to play 10 shows a week in various different ski places in different parts of the Alps. And basically, it was two-hour shows, speakers on sticks, standing in the corner of a pub basically playing gigs. But we did, because there was 10 of them a week, we kind of just never stopped. But it's where we learned our trade, I suppose, you know what I mean? Like that was, and we were just kids, you know, we were like 20 years old when we did that.
Yeah, so. Rich memories of the piste?
Oh, on the piste. On the piste. Not a great deal of memories, actually. But as Dan said, it is where it's where we cut our teeth. It's where we learned to play, really, and we learned so many songs that it all went into our DNA.
What was the most requested cover?
Oh, what do you think?
But you know what? The funny thing was, right, when we first went there was a lot of people doing kind of like jangly rock songs, and that was what the covers bands in the noughties were doing. But we wanted to do something different. So we'd go in there and play 80s hits, or we'd play like TV themes, or we'd play.
But we also had the secret weapon, Kieran Jeremiah, which you've seen in action.
Yes.
He can do anything. So we would do like songs with raps in them.
Eminem.
It didn't really matter, right?
Yeah. Comes out of that man.
Yeah, I think you've probably heard most of the covers.
Kieran gives it the old Eminem, you better be ready for it. Kieran, what's it like when you're in the zone there, in the moment, in full flow?
Well, I should expect that you're always going to request something like that from us at Carfest, but I never prepare for it.
Well, like now?
I don't know.
Please don't.
But I don't know the words, so I have to kind of freestyle a reasonable amount of it.
You started it. Don't you remember? Yeah. You started Fight for Your Right to Party one.
That's true.
We've got to have more of this. You set the bar.
It's true.
Kieran.
Yeah.
Secret weapon, I'm telling you.
I try.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a Kieran.
Kev, memories of favourite memories so far, 30 years in of The Feeling?
Being right here, right now.
Oh, come on. Give it the full George Harrison, why don't you? You've got to take five for a set and we'll finish off in a bit live. Is that okay?
Sure.
Paula, let's hear it for Paula.
Paula!
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything. See you at the big Carbon Up dinner.
Yeah, tomorrow night. Excited. Really.
You're not Carbon Up, are you? But you still get carried away with the old spoke.
I'm still get into the atmosphere. I'm Carbon Up the brain.
Yeah, good. Of course you are. I think that's it, isn't it? I think we're done.
I think we're almost done.
Good luck, everyone.
See you on the other side.
Have a great day on Sunday. All right, we'll leave you in peace now. Remember, if you are running the marathon for the first time ever on Sunday, come Sunday afternoon, your life will never be the same again. Your amazing marathon experience will change your life forever. You are now a marathoner. Good luck. Run well. Stay safe. Be nice to yourself and all your fellow marathoners. See you at the start line. Bye, everyone.
When you want your favourite 80s songs to lift your mood, play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. DAB Digital Radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s. Virgin Radio. 80s Plus.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.